Welcome to today's Mother's Day worship service. Let's all together join and worship the Lord this morning with King of Kings.
Welcome to the Mother's Day Sunday worship today.
Let's worship the Lord together.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we worship you this Lord's Day, we want to honor and give thanks for our moms, our mothers. Thank you for mothers who model for us what it means to be compassionate, loving, and understanding. Mothers who shaped us into who we are today. We thank you for every new mother experiencing the gift of new life. Please grant them strength to enjoy this new experience amongst the beauty and the challenges that come with being a parent for the first time. And Lord, we ask you to give comfort and hope to those dealing with the heartbreak of infertility or the grief of miscarriage. And this morning, Lord, for those who are grieving the loss of a mother, please surround them with your presence, comfort, and peace. We also pray for mothers who have yet to come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior and Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in their hearts so that they will soon respond to your great love for them. And for mothers estranged from their children, please give them hope that reconciliation is possible through you. Lord Jesus, this Mother's Day is so different and so quiet compared to previous ones due to the COVID-19 restrictions. Many of us won't be able to wish our moms a happy Mother's Day in person or to express our appreciation for them by spending time with them physically. And so, Lord Jesus, please bless all the mothers this day with your special presence and grace. And as we thank our mothers for their loving care for us, we also want to thank you, our Heavenly Father, for being our refuge and our rock, someone that gives us the security and safety we are looking for. May we continue to trust you even more with a dependent and grateful heart. And now bless us as we continue to worship you. Speak to us and touch us through your word, which will be spoken through your servant, Pastor Charlie. And as we hear your voice, may we respond with a soft and submissive heart. For we ask all these things in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, everyone. This is Samson. For those who don't know me, I've been attending FEC for just over 3 years now. First off, I'd like to wish all the mothers, grandmothers, godmothers, ninangs, and mother figures out there a happy Mother's Day. I know it's been said many times, and you probably hear it every Mother's Day, but many of us think of our mothers as superheroes in our lives, and for me, it was no different. My mom did all the housework. She cleaned the floors, dusted the shelves, did the laundry, changed the bed sheets, cooked all the meals, most of which she did after getting home from a full-time job, which started at 6 a.m., 6 days a week. So understandably, she was quite tired at the end of the day. And this was how it was, as early as I could remember. This was how my mom served and sacrificed for our family. My mom wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not even sure she completed an elementary education before she started working out at the farms doing manual labor work to help support her family back in China. All my mom knew how to do was work with her hands, manual labor, and that's exactly what she did to support her family, both in China and here in Canada, after she immigrated here in the late 70s. I didn't get much FaceTime with my mom. She was always occupied, either out at work or working at home, cleaning or cooking something. And when she did get some downtime, she was so exhausted and either passed out on her chair or went to bed early. When I was a kid, I was too tiny or weak to help with anything. When I got older, school and homework were my priorities because my mom didn't want me to be like her, someone who worked with her hands instead of her brain. She wanted me to have an easier life, so she didn't want me to help, even as punishment. When I finally finished school and found a job, my mom saw how tired I was after a long day at the office. Poor me, sitting in my office, delegating people to do my work and not lifting a finger. I did, however, have to supervise this delegated work sometimes, which meant late nights and coming home somewhere between 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. some days. My mom, being a light sleeper, would hear me come home, wake up, and while I hopped in the shower, she would heat up some soup or a light snack for me to warm my belly before heading off to bed, and sit with me at the dinner table in silence while I ate or drank, just so she could share some unhurried time with me. Back then, I thought nothing of it. I was too tired to think. I had had a long day of standing around and using my brain, and just wanted to get to bed. I was settling into my job, still my first job after graduating university. I was traveling across Canada for work, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Ottawa, sometimes just for days, sometimes for weeks or months, without coming home to Vancouver. I felt like such a big shot. And because of this, I never quite gained more face time with my mom, mostly because she didn't have a cell phone, nor was she very tech savvy, but she always made an effort to call me from home on the landline every few days. I missed home. I missed my friends. I decided to put work on the back burner, work travel on the back burner, and refuse further travel. My mom was close to retirement. She wanted to rest her achy body after so many years of manual labor. She wanted to go on a cruise. She wanted to spend more time with her boys. Everything was about to change, and it did. My mom significantly reduced her work hours. She was regularly meeting up with her friends and family for food or grocery shopping, taking walks in the park, and very much looking forward to retirement, as she was very proud of her boys and how they're finally done school and have good jobs now. My brother and I were taking my mom out every Sunday afternoon for dim sum, and I was sorting out plans to take my mom on that Alaskan cruise she wanted to go on in the new year. My mom taught me many things through her sacrifice and hard work. She taught me patience and faith in humanity. She taught me respect towards others, no matter how old they are. She taught me generosity through giving and sharing with others. As one of her sayings she always repeated was, "We come into this world empty-handed, and we will leave empty-handed. So why not share what we have with others?" It was December 23rd, the last day of work before going on holiday break. I was enjoying a few pizzas I had bought my team as a thank you. So I was in the office a bit later that day. I got a call from my brother. I think he called about three times before I answered. And when I answered, it was a, "Yeah, what?" Sobbing was all I heard. "What? What's wrong?" He replied, "You better come to the hospital. It's Mom." My heart dropped. My pulse racing, I grabbed my jacket and ran. I got to the hospital and dropped to my knees when I saw her, speechless. My mom had suffered a stroke. She was 62, in better shape than I was, ate healthier than I did, the most caring person I knew. My superhero was lying there in front of me, helpless. Needless to say, that was a very heart-wrenching Christmas. I miss the late nights drinking soup beside my mom, soup that she had so lovingly made for her family, at least 2 to 3 times a week. Every week, ever since I could remember. Lubby, my wife, said the other day, "Sometimes the best meals are the simplest ones." I couldn't agree more. I don't think she noticed, but it made me tear up a bit. I wish I had helped my mom do housework, even when she said I didn't need to. I wish I had called back home more often to let my mom know I was okay, instead of her always calling me, because I conveniently forgot or got too busy. I wish I had said thank you, Mom, more often, instead of having that expectation that, of course, my mom would take care of me, no matter how old I was. I wish my mom had passed on some of her cooking skills, so I wouldn't default to eating pizza pockets and instant noodles every time I'm hungry. Like the saying goes, people say you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Truth is, you knew what you had. You just never thought you'd lose it. My mom now lives in a care home. She can't speak clearly. She doesn't walk. She doesn't have good use of her limbs. She's definitely not cooking anymore. I'm sure this was not the break she was looking forward to. I used to visit my mom daily for 3 years, every day after work and always on weekends to exercise her. If you add up all the days I wasn't able to see her, I would say that it wouldn't add up to past 2 to 3 weeks max. With this COVID pandemic, I haven't been able to be within 50 feet of her. Standing in a back alley, I wave to her as she sits by her fourth floor window having dinner every day. It was my birthday 2 weeks ago. I mentioned to my mom briefly a few days before that actual day. Visiting her on the day of my birthday, much like any other day during this pandemic, I was not expecting any more than a few waves and blown kisses. As Lovey and I stood in the alley, my mom is holding something out the window. It was my birthday present. She saved me the banana from her lunch. I was able to get underneath her window and gave her the cue to drop it, and I caught it before it hit the ground. She remembered, and she shared with me what she could. I wish I could have kept that banana forever, but Lovey cut it up for breakfast the next day. Every mother, and I mean every mother, has made sacrifices in their lives for the health and well-being of their family. They are truly superheroes who do not do it for the recognition, even though it'd be nice sometimes. But continue to do the work, make the sacrifices, and be that glue that keeps the family together. So be sure to give your mom, grandmother, Ninang, and anyone who has been a mother figure in your life a hug, a call, or a text today, especially today, to thank them for being so awesome. Always show appreciation. What's taken for granted will eventually be taken away, and you end up missing most what you least appreciated. All superheroes eventually retire and need to rest their achy bodies, so show them how much you love and appreciate them, and maybe you'll pick up a few things and be that superhero in someone else's life. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Our scripture for today is found in Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 to 18. Verse 8. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I know all of us are experiencing a very different world right now, where we can get lonely, depressed, and feeling frustrated. But most of us have probably heard that positive changes are coming, where our authorities are loosening up their social distancing requirements. In the news this week, I saw a video clip from Italy of a young child and her grandparent embracing one another with joy. And I hope that scene will become a reality for many of us in Vancouver. For I know at least one granddaughter who is dying to hug her grandparent. So today, with a sense of optimism, I would like to call upon those church members who are able to celebrate and enjoy this day with your mothers to do that. I also want to lift up special prayer for those of us who are looking forward to having a child, but for a variety of reasons are still waiting at this time. I pray that Lord will grant you hope to continue to seek God's promise. For whatever it's worth, allow me to share this story. One of my leaders in my last church had difficulty having a child despite trying for many years. Their doctor was telling them that it was due to a medication that his wife was taking for health reasons. She could not afford to not take the medication, but they kept praying and they tried. Then one day, after many years, this young man came, knocked on my office to give me the good news. I remember the moment when I heard news, I was so overjoyed. I began to cry uncontrollably, and I think I made him feel very awkward in that time. I don't pretend to know God's will in every situation, but I want to pray that God will grant us hope in every circumstances, whether we are married, single, or without a child. Finally, there may be some of us who are still experiencing the pain of losing our mother. My prayer for you is that may our Lord grant you comfort and strength, knowing that even death cannot separate us from our loved ones forever. I don't believe any of us need a reminder about how special our mothers are to us. But for today, I want to encourage us to be more intentional about reaching out to them, to let them know how grateful we are for their love and sacrifice that has helped us to know God and helped to shape us into a person that we are today. I have a habit of reflecting a certain scene from the Bible during each Mother's Day week to remind me of my calling as a follower of Jesus Christ to care for my mother. The scene I reflect on is the scene of the cross, where our Lord Jesus Christ is literally hanging there, enduring unbearable pain throughout his body. He could manage his energy to deal with his pain, but even during this time, his thoughts are still focused on the salvation of people. Let's take a look at a couple of these passages here. Then he said, Jesus remembers me, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's from Luke chapter 23, verse 42 to 43. Then in 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Somehow Jesus hears the criminal who was confessing his sin at the cross next to Jesus. Jesus offered him his place in paradise to be with Jesus. He prays in defense for those who are murdering him, explaining to the Father that they do not know what they're doing. And then he turns his attention to his earthly mother, Mary. Let's take a look at this verse in John 19, 26 to 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." So from that hour, this disciple took her into his home. Even near death, Jesus is concerned about her welfare. So he calls upon his trusted disciple, John, to adopt Mary as his own mother so he can care for her. What Christ demonstrates at the cross, as was the case during the time of his ministry, is to love others. And this is our calling as his followers. Love others generously and selflessly for their benefit and not our own. And this involves everyone, our friends, our neighbors, even our enemies, and most of all, our family, including our parents. May the Lord inspire us to be more like Jesus each passing days of our life's journey. Every pastor I know has a go-to messages for special occasions, and I am no exception. One of my favorite stories from the Bible that I really enjoy sharing during the celebration of Mother's Day is a story of two women who exemplifies motherly love and courage. They were an odd couple, one Jew and the other being Gentile, who, under the modern-day standard, were in the most distant and challenging relationship, a mother and a daughter-in-law. But they nevertheless form an unlikely yet an extraordinary bond with each other and share a deep self-giving love for one another. These are the women in the story of the Book of Ruth who would experience a dreadful tragedy of losing their husband, and as a consequence were forced to live in the harshest of circumstances. But through God, who was committed to saving them, and through relying on each other, they would find hope and ultimately experience deliverance that would place them at the center of God's salvation plan for the whole world. There are only two books in the Bible that bear the names of women. One is Esther, and the other is Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile who married a Hebrew, and Esther was a Hebrew who married a Gentile. Please take a look at the following PowerPoint. In the middle of genealogy, I highlighted the name Boaz and Ruth in circles, who are the main characters of the story in the Book of Ruth. Although we didn't have a chance to read about it today, in the Book of Ruth, Boaz was the kinsman redeemer who will marry Ruth to save the family of Naomi. Please note that there are three female names bold and underlined within the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, two of the women, Tamar and Rahab, are portrayed in the Bible as women of questionable morals. And the third woman, Ruth, was a Moabite in a Jewish lineage. This is mentioned to illustrate that God's history revealed through Jesus' genealogy seems to show God's plan of salvation from the very beginning was never going to be fulfilled through human qualities or works, but only by God's sovereignty and grace. The story of Ruth takes place during a period of judges when Israel didn't have a king. They relied on some of its leaders, who are called a judge, to help rule and protect its territories from any foreign aggression within its occupied land. When the story begins, we are told that one family from Bethlehem, and as you can see on the map, is located just above the white box there, consisting of a father, mother, and two sons, migrates to the country of Moab in order to avoid a famine in their land. The reddish color on the map shows the territories Israel has controlled during the time of Judges, And the nation of Moab is shown inside a red circle. When the family settled down in Moab, two sons married Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. And as the story unfolds, all of the male in the family dies, leaving Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth as widows. During the early stages of the biblical world, women had very little human or legal rights, and in some cultures, they were considered properties of the husband. Although most wives were involved in domestic work, their livelihood very much depended on their husband's ability to provide. Therefore, once their husband passed away, their lives were left in ruins and their future was seriously compromised. If the widow was young enough to remarry and fortunate enough to find a new husband, that probably would have been the best possible future. But their first duty was to be bound to her mother-in-law, and the widow must serve and take care of her. As some of the stories in Genesis indicate, it was also common for many widows to turn to prostitution for their sustenance as well as their children's. Older widows, on the other hand, did not really have much of an option. So someone like Naomi in the story would have to rely on her daughter-in-laws to take care of her. I don't know if you know this, but my wife's name is Naomi. After we got married, she shared that she wanted to adopt an English name, as I was mostly ministering to the English congregation. So we talked about different names for her to consider. One of the names that I proposed was Ruth, but she told me she didn't look like Ruth. I don't know what that meant, but I respected her decision. Then I strongly encouraged her to consider Naomi. I know that she really didn't read the Bible in English before, so she may not have been familiar with the name, but she soon found out and wasn't very happy. She figured out the tragic story of Naomi's life and she let me have it. How did you decide to suggest the name of someone whom you know would go through a terrible fate in her life? Would you like for me to live as a widow and lose my child as well? Obviously, I knew what she was complaining about, but I tried to explain and encourage her to see that Naomi's life, as well as her daughter-in-law, Ruth, was not simply a story about women experiencing misfortune and hardship. For the next section of my message, I will explore the qualities of Naomi and Ruth that I was attracted to, and I will finish up my message by sharing what I have learned about God through the account of the book of Ruth. The scripture we read this morning was an interaction between Naomi and her two daughters-in-law as she begins her journey back to her motherland. From verses 11 to 13, we're told that Naomi had made a decision to release both her daughter-in-law's obligation to her, and she encourages them to return to their homes to find a life of their own, that is, to get married again. What is so touching in the scene as we read from verse 8 all the way to the text we read this morning is their sincere love for one another. Let's take a look at the following passage. This is from Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." I believe majority of us would agree that we are living in a society that is consistently growing cold and insensitive to others, even toward our own parents. But this story reminds us that there is a possibility we can experience the best of what our relationship was meant to be. What was about Naomi and her dealings with her daughter-in-law we can learn from the story. More practical question is, how do we experience goodness in our relationships? In the text we just read, Naomi sincerely blesses her daughters-in-law in the name of her God. What was amazing about Naomi's blessing is the fact that this was given, this blessing, while she herself was struggling with God. Let's take a look at this text here. Ruth 1:13, it tells us, "It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." This was Naomi's statement to her daughters, her daughter-in-laws. And the next passage is Ruth 1:19-20. It says, "So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she told them. 'Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter.'" In the text, we are able to gaze into the struggling soul of Naomi. She is hurt and wounded by current predicament God has placed in her life. And she definitely realizes her bitter sentiment toward God. She is struggling to understand why God has allowed such tragedy to occur in her life. But this did not prevent her from invoking God's protection and provision over her daughter-in-laws, praying God's blessings over them. I believe there are times in our life's journey where we can become confused about the state of our current or personal world. In those times, we may not fully understand God's plans behind it and may actually end up questioning God. But that does not mean we cease to believe or trust in God. And God certainly does not close His doors on us either. One important thing we learn about Naomi is even during these times, we may choose to love and bless others. And remarkably, God will respond. When we share our lives with others, even when we are having troubles as Naomi was, something about the reality of our relationship with God shines through and draws others to the Lord. Another quality which I believe is the key to building great relationship with others is shown through her humility. One of the marks of human depravity is our selfishness in relationships, which is generally governed by the law of reciprocity. That is the law of give and take. We generally respond when we receive, and vice versa. This would mean that in order to reach others in our broken world, we must be the initiator. We must be the giver. Further complication added to the problem is the cultural standard, particularly in an Asian culture, where elders are given priorities in relationships and expects to be served. Naomi in the story is loved, honored, respected, and served by her daughter-in-law precisely because she loved them as her own. She was the first person willing to set aside her rights and needs, and she was the one who thought to act in the best interest of her daughter-in-laws. Let's read this passage here in Ruth chapter 3:1, where we can gaze into or confirm Naomi's heart toward Ruth. Ruth 3:1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." She truly loved her daughter-in-laws as her own daughter. Naomi will eventually help her daughter-in-law to find a kinsman redeemer who will marry her and give her a child. Let's take a look at this passage here in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Final part of the story describes Naomi's triumph. People in her town would come together and celebrate with Naomi what God has done for her. She was a widow who had once lost everything in a foreign land, but through God's provision, she was able to regain everything she lost: her social status, her dignity, and a child who will continue her family line. I want to end my sharing with a few passages from the Bible that describes God's love for us. And interestingly, God decided to use mother's love to strengthen our imagination. Let me read this text for you. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on a child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." And Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." I hope these texts will reinforce your trust and love for God today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your invitation for us to come to worship you this morning. Although we are worshiping you through video recording, we know that your presence is very much with each one of us and our hearts and our families. We also thank you that our current state of lockdown is beginning to loosen up. I know we have to be careful, especially on a day like today where we long to spend time together with our family and loved ones. We want to remind ourselves that we still need to do our part to help battle to prevent the spreading of the virus that is destroying so many lives. As we celebrate Mother's Day, not everyone's emotion will be the same, as some of us may be joyful, but some of us may feel worried or sad. Would you minister to all of us today and help us to continue to place our trust and hope in you through all circumstances? For those of us who might be able to spend time with our mothers today, whether in person or through other means, help us to be able to share love and appreciation for all they are to us. Through the lesson today, I have given your people a model of what following you and loving others look like. I hope that we're able to see what a blessed relationship looks like and experience it in our own relationships as we submit ourselves under the authority of your word to love others as we love ourselves. We ask that you would continue to provide strength and wisdom for our daily living as we use the season of our lives to build and solidify our families. We thank you for listening to our prayers, and may you continue to bless us during this season of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for loving me, supporting me, and always being there for me. I really appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Ma. Happy Mother's Day. I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done for me and all the sacrifices that you've made. I want to thank you for being the best chef and always taking care of us. Thank you for making me laugh and for always putting up with me. And lastly, I wanted to thank you for always pushing me to be the best that I can be and for guiding me in my walk with Christ. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for taking care of me and raising me, providing me with food, and most of all, putting up with my annoyedness. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all the countless things you do for the family. You always think about others before yourself and set a good example for all of us to look up to.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, I just want to take this time to tell you how much I appreciate everything that you've done for me. I know it's not easy to raise me as your son, and yet you pursue. Also want to take this time to tell you how much I love you. I know you don't hear it often, but I hope you know that I always do. May you continue to be the kind and loving and caring mother that you are, always willing to sacrifice yourself to cater to our needs. May you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and know that I am very, very proud to be your son.
My mom has always been a selfless person. She volunteers her time to teach the children's choir and handbell choir church while still endlessly running around our home doing housework. She is an incredible leader that everyone can look up to and rely on, and she's taught me many important life lessons that have helped shape me become a better follower of Christ. She shows such a deep love and importance for her family, whether it be her children or her cousins on the other side of the world. She has been the biggest role model in my life, and I love her very much. I love you, Mom.
Thank you for taking care of me, especially when I'm sick, for preparing my food every day, and thank you especially for putting up with me since I can get a bit crazy sometimes.
It is written in Matthew 20, verse 26, that whoever wants to become great among us must be your servant. If this is true, then it is no lie when I say that my mother is the greatest person I know. She is as much a member of the church as she is a member of our family, and her servitude towards Christ and his mission is something that I can only hope to achieve. Thank you, Mom. You bring so much joy and happiness into my life, and your love and comfort is a blanket that never fails to keep me safe. I love you very much, and happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Ma, I just want to say thank you for everything. Thank you for taking care of me all my life. Thank you for always being there when I'm sad. Thank you for always being patient when I'm mad. Thank you for putting in so much more love than I could ever give back. You are strong, you are kind, you are so beautiful, and I wouldn't have been able to make it this far without you. Probably literally, because there's no way I could have survived all this time. Okay, 多谢妈妈,你好个小花心。
Mama, thank you for comforting us when we're in despair. Thank you for listening to us. After talking with you, 我们没有问题了。 Thank you for showing us what it means to walk in faith. Thank you for always reminding us that through God we can do extraordinary things. Thank you for making time for us, even when you have so much to do. Mama, we love you so much.
Welcome, and thank you for worshiping with us remotely this Mother's Day. A special Blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers. We just continue to invite everyone to join us in our virtual worship room, which allows us not only to worship together with other brothers and sisters, but to greet and catch up with one another afterwards. The Zoom worship room will be ready to receive you 15 minutes before worship begins at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. And the link and the information are sent out via email each Saturday afternoon. Also, to let you know, the 4:45 online service has been discontinued due to very low visits during its trial run for two Sundays. So basically, there are now two ways for you to worship with us each Sunday. The first one is to worship with other members of the FEC family via the Zoom worship room, which, as I mentioned, is available for you to come in at 10:30. And we will send the link to you via email Saturday afternoon. That's the first way. The second way is, if you like, you can worship just with your own family members. To do that, you simply visit the church website and click the Watch, Listen to the Sermon. The online worship service will be available at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Then it will be available again starting at 6 p.m. Sunday. We are thankful to the Lord that our province, British Columbia, is now preparing for some small and gradual easing up of the restriction due to COVID-19 pandemic, most likely to start after the long weekend. Next weekend is Victoria Day weekend. However, physical distancing will still be crucial in keeping the spread under control. So as a church family, we do not expect any changes in our current arrangements. For example, our online Sunday worship and other ministries in the near future, I'm guessing probably for the next month or two. We will keep you informed as these developments come. So thank you for your attention.
If you are able, please stand with us to sing doxology.
Let's receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you, especially with all the moms this day, from now until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Amen. This ends the service. If you're with us in the virtual room, please stay behind so that you can greet one another and catch up with one another. And again, have a very blessed week. Thank you.